Exciting Change with Barbara Onwine. Platforms by host Barbara Onwine Esquire, guests, and supporters are their own and are independent of any organization, entity. Nothing said on the show or any of its platforms constitutes a client-attorney relationship or serves as legal advice, counsel. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Igniting Change, its platforms, or the show's host. It's time now for Igniting Change, a weekly provocative and empowering program where you, the listener, can ignite change. Now here's your host, Barbara Onwine. Get up,
stand up. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Igniting Change. Oh, my goodness, do we have a show for you today. We are so happy you're listening in because we're going to be covering some of the most critical current events involving racial justice in the United States. And we're going to put our eyes back on that Supreme Court to ask, what in the world are they doing? How do we handle all of these misdeeds based on these illegal recordings, not only of Justice Samuel Alito, but his wife, Martha Ann Alito, has gotten involved and has done her own recording, surreptitiously. So we got a lot to talk about, folks. And, of course, everybody in the nation has been writing me all upset about this Fearless Fund case. Well, we're going to do it in two parts. We're going to do part one today, and next week we're going to go in depth into the decision itself. But today we're going to talk about the parameters of what this decision means and what has to be done to counter its very erroneous findings. But before I get into that, you know who I got to bring up. There's nobody else who stands side by side with me in making sure that racial justice is done in the United States through the great work of the Transformative Justice Coalition and all our partners. I am so happy to welcome my co-host, none other than Daryl D. Jones. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Barbara. It must be Tuesday. It must be noon Eastern Standard Time because we're about to ignite more change in this igniting change time across America. I'm going to tell you, Barbara, you know, that 11th Circuit decision with that Fearless Fund, they got some change igniting there, too. I mean, they're sending messages, and I can't wait to dig down into it. Because, you know, it was my mentor, the first African-American congressman below the Mason-Dixon line post-Reconstruction, Perrin Mitchell, who said, you see a good fight, get in it. Well, they've served up a good fight, Barbara, and we're about to get in it. So, you know, it's incredible what this 11th Circuit has done, but what's going to be more incredible is going to be the response of the American people as to what this 11th Circuit is doing to black women, African-American women, and women of color in the venture capital and business world, Barbara.
You know it. You know it. And, folks, we got so much to cover. But before we do our show, we want to say out to the entire nation and to all of those, we want to say to everybody, Happy Pride Month! To the LGBTQIA community, Happy Pride Month. We want to make sure that everyone knows that TJC stands by you, stands for equality for all people, regardless of gender identification, regardless of who they love. So we want to make sure that in this time of pride, that we're happy to see the flags raised and people expressing and being out front about who they are. So with that said,
okay. Yeah, with that said, we have a great show that's planned, and I'm not certain what happened with Barbara, but she'll be right back with us, I'm sure, in a minute.
I am back. I am so I'm so sorry, everybody. Every once in a while, my phone gets disrupted. Sorry about that. But what I was saying was just Happy Pride Month. So let's move on now to our show in chief. And thank you, Daryl, for always picking up for me. We want to welcome back, because the title of our show today is Transformative Justice Coalition Topical Roundtable, the supreme misdeed for the Fearless Fund in Justice, the Alito Recordings, and more. We will be live with our amazing leaders of the Transformative Justice Coalition, including Attorney Terry O'Neill. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Barbara. Hey, Daryl. It's great to hear your voices again.
Oh, yes. We got a lot to talk about. What a crazy week since our last show. And we're also so happy to have joining us again one of our nation's most brilliant commentators, one of our nation's former state senator from Massachusetts. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Diane Wilkerson. Hey, Diane.
It is so good to be with you all today. I have one question. How did you figure out what we're going to talk about, given all the choices that you have?
Woo! It was hard. Yeah. It was hard. But, you know, we just think that, you know, we've been following the Supreme Court and all of its, you know, many, many misdeeds. And who would think that since last week, two recordings would come out, one of Justice Samuel Alito talking about his being uncompromised on his principles and talking and agreeing that this is a, quote, God nation, you know, and not understanding and reinforcing the need for separation from church and state. But we know that his rulings have been reflective of that ideology. And then the recording from his wife, Martha Ann Alito, throwing hate at gay people, saying that, you know, she can't wait to get some more flags so that when she's, quote, free of all of this, I guess, whenever he retires from the pitch or something, that she won't.
Yeah, she's really going to be crazy, right?
Right, right. She's going to put up her own flags to counter the gay flag, that she's mad at that she has to watch that across her out of her window. I mean, come on, people. You know, we got to understand who we are dealing with, what their ideologies are. So in getting into this show, but the other thing we got to talk about is Byron Donald talking and loaning about the Jim Crow era. Lord have mercy. Who miseducated this child? We got a lot to talk about, don't we, Daryl?
But we absolutely do, Barbara. And, you know, I don't even know what to say about Byron Donaldson. You know, I don't know if it's a problem with Florida. They're just too close to the water. I don't know what it is. They're too far south. They didn't get the message. There's something going on there, but my goodness. But yes, Barbara, let's dig into this stuff.
Woo! Woo! Let's get into it. So, Terry, I want to start with you. You know, can you believe, after, you know, we have now been talking about this court and its misdeeds all year, and Alito and his flag-flying madness, we've been talking about, you know, other misdeeds, you know, since our last show has come out that Justice Thomas made over $4.7 million in gifts from rich billionaires. You want to tell me that's not vote buying, folks? Come on now. $4.7 million, folks, that he's made sitting on that bench from his billionaire cronies. You know, so this continues to raise the question, Terry. You know, can you believe that we're back at this question again because of these tape messages from Justice Alito and his wife? What in the world do you make of the fact that here we are again?
You know, Barbara, the brazenness with which both Justice Alito and his wife have just, you know, sort of snubbed, they're thumbing their nose at the entire American people. They don't they don't feel like they are going to be held accountable for anything. She can get out there and trash the LGBT community as much as she wants. He can say, yes, we are godly. You know, this country is of godliness. He agrees with it. And the fascinating thing is that in that same, at that same, whatever it was, a gala evening or something, where the reporter surreptitiously recorded both Alito and his wife, she also surreptitiously recorded Chief Justice Roberts. And he was much more circumspect. Right. She was kind of giving him these leading questions, trying to see if he would say something super bigoted. And he didn't. You know, she said, well, we're a Christian country. And he says, no, I've got some Muslim friends and some Jewish friends that probably disagree with that. He kept trying to pull back from what she was trying to get him to say. Not Alito. She's in there.
No.
You know, I think we have to do the moral question. And Alito says, yes, either we're going to win or we're going to lose. Alito has his mind that American people who don't agree with him, he's got to defeat us. We're going to lose, he says, or we're going to win. And he also said there are no two ways. You know, there are some things you just can't compromise on. And I'm sitting listening to this, and I'm saying, like, the basic humanity of people who don't look and think like Sam Alito, he can't compromise on that. You know, the Alito is out there dehumanizing women in the Dobbs decision itself. The word woman doesn't even show up in Alito's opinion in Dobbs. Word woman, fetus shows up many times, but the word woman never shows up. So we know that he dehumanizes women, and he feels like that's fine, and that is something that he can't compromise on. That is something where he has to win or lose, as you know, the dehumanizing people who aren't like him. So it's astonishing, and right now I don't know of any way to hold him accountable except going in and secretly recording him to at least try to get the American people to see what we're dealing with.
And Terry, I thought it was fascinating. Caitlin, Arnwine, who helps us produce the show, she took me back a year ago to 2023, another secret recording of Alito by the same person, by the way. And in this recording, he is more like Roberts. So it shows you that more than a year after Dobbs, you know, after all of these misdeeds, that they've gotten more emboldened. Not better, not more humble, not more circumspect. That he went from, you know, being, trying to guard his answers to now just being openly partisan. Diane. Woo! Yesterday, members of the House took to the steps of the Supreme Court to call for legislation requiring mandatory annual ethics training for Supreme Court justices, saying that if they don't go through this annual ethics training, that there would be a body that would be responsible for overseeing them, other, you know, kinds of actions. But even if this passed, everybody on this panel today for our roundtable, would it make any difference given what this court is doing?
No. No, you know, it wouldn't. And I want to ditto everything that Terry just said. You know, here's where we are. This is all in or nothing for them right now. And I think that they're working, and I say they, I mean the conservatives, the Koch brothers, and all those other folks that are buying the court, the political apparatus, they're all working on one calendar, and that is the political calendar. That it is dominating all. This is an all or nothing for them right now. And the scary thing is, that was my takeaway from Justice Alito's comments. You know, we have to win. And he, of course, has one of the most powerful tools ever to help make that happen. And so this is all about what we can do between now and November. And one of the things that they will do is anything and everything legally to grease the skids, if you will, for one, for the Republican nominee.